Hey, he beat me to it. Hey, good morning, church. It is good to see you guys this morning. It is good to see you. But it's even better because we're going to start a series, and we're actually going to look at the life of one of my favorite Old Testament people. So we're going to be looking at Joshua. Not necessarily the book of Joshua, the life of Joshua. So we're going to be starting that today. We're going to be spending some time in Exodus and Deuteronomy, and then we will be spending some time in the book of Joshua. But we're going to start a series. We're going to look at the events along Joshua's life and some of the things that happened in his life as he walked this journey as one of God's greatest leaders, as one of God's greatest disciple makers, as one of God's greatest warriors. And we're going to spend some time and just look at his life. And I'm actually really, really, really excited about this. This is great. I've been able to study and just dive into the life of Joshua the last couple weeks, and I cannot wait to share it with you. So, gosh, man, I hope you guys enjoy as much as I did, because I love preparing. So I'm going to hope you guys get something out of this. For those of you who don't know or you're not familiar with Joshua, he actually led the Israelites after Moses. So Moses led him during the Exodus. He led him in the desert for 40 years, and then God appointed Joshua to take it over and lead the conquest of the Promised Land, lead about 25 years of peace after that, and Joshua was the leader of the Israelites during that time, right? Joshua had a pretty eventful life. If we start looking at his life, some of the things, we know that Joshua was born as a slave in Egypt. He was part of the Exodus, so when he was born, he was a slave. He was one of the Israelite leaders during the Exodus. Moses was the top guy, the main leader, but we do know that Joshua was one of the leaders. We know that he was one of the first to actually see the Promised Land. If you guys remember, the spies went in and went to go look at it, and Joshua was one of those spies. He was Moses' assistant during Israel's time in the wilderness. And then we know that he led the Israelites during the conquest of the Promised Land. And he was one of two Israelites that were born as a slave and ended up occupying or going into the Promised Land. It was Joshua and Caleb. So pretty remarkable life, and we're going to start and just look at lots of these things. And he did all of those things. But if we look at his life, we'll see that his final act was probably his most important act, right? It's when he challenged his nation to follow God, and we can read in his book in chapter 24, it says, this is Joshua speaking to his country, says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and fellowship. Put away the gods that your fathers served before the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." And we see that Joshua was discipling an entire nation, teaching them the commands of God and how to follow them. But he began with his family. So as he's making nations of his community, he started with his own family. And it's a famous verse that many of you have said, and many of you have them up on your walls at home. And it's, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that was Joshua speaking to the Israelites. But we also see that the nation responds to Joshua. And later on in that chapter, we see the nation of Israel respond to Joshua and his leadership and his declaration to follow the Lord. We see the Israelites respond in chorus, "We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." And we see Joshua making disciples of his community. But before all this, we know that God spent many years preparing Joshua for his calling to lead Israel, not just in battle, as I mentioned before, not just in the years of conquest of the Promised Land, but also as a united nation, where he taught them to be obeying and humbly submit to God and being fully devoted to God. And as we look at some of these significant events in Joshua's life, we will see that Joshua was not just a great military general. We'll see that he was more than just an inspirational leader. What we'll learn is that Joshua was a devoted man of God. Right? Joshua's confidence was not found in his skill with the sword. It wasn't found in his ability to lead the masses. Right? The secret to Joshua's success and his leadership and everything that who he was his faith in God. Right? His faith in God's commandments and his faith in God's promises. When we read the scripture, we see that God's command to Joshua was to be strong and courageous. And when we look at Joshua, we'll see that Joshua found his strength in the word of the Lord. In Joshua 1, we read this, God speaking to Joshua, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And we notice in Joshua's life that he stuck to this word, that he spent time in scripture, he spent time in prayer, and that this is where he found his strength was in God. But we also know that Joshua found his courage in the God of that word, in the God of the word. And later on in chapter 23, Joshua says this to the nation, "One man of you puts to fight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God." And that's where he found his courage to go out and not only face the promised land and to face all the nations that he was going to, that God was going to use him to remove, but to lead Israel, to lead God's people. He found his courage in God. And here's what's interesting as we read through Scripture. We know that God's command to Joshua is to be strong and courageous. But God commands the same of his people today, of people that call themselves Christians, of people that say, "I follow Jesus." He commands us to be strong and courageous. And as we look at the events in Joshua's spiritual journey, my prayer is that you will see yourself along this journey, that you'll see where you are and that you'll see some of these life lessons that Joshua was taught and that Joshua learned, and that you will find your strength and your courage in the Lord. That's why we talk about the Old Testament. We know that's where Joshua is now in the New Testament, in the time after the resurrection. Jesus Christ, he's our Joshua, and he wants to lead us in conquest now and to share all the treasures of his wonderful inheritance and the abundant life that is only found in him. His love has made us more than conquerors. But too often we go through life and we live and we act like defeated failures and cowards. And as Christ is our Savior, there's no need for that. We are more than conquerors. And over the next several weeks, we're going to look at the spiritual journey of one of God's greatest warriors. Right? We're going to travel together as we follow Joshua's spiritual journey. And my prayer is that you will see yourself there. My prayer is that you will be able to look at your life and say, "Hey, I need to do this. Right? I need to do this better." But you will see Joshua and you'll say, "Ah, I can be a spiritual warrior through Christ." And as we get going through this and as we start talking, I'm going to lay a little bit of foundation. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time this morning going through Joshua's life before he was like late 30s, or early 40s. Truth of the matter is, we don't know a whole lot. Right? And I don't want to really guess on that. Here's what we do know, as I've already told you, is Joshua was born in Egypt as a slave. He was probably in his late 30s, early 40s when the Israelites left Egypt and when they went and followed Moses out. We know that Joshua walked through the Red Sea on dry land. We know that he watched waters fall on the pursuing Egyptian army. We know that he ate manna from heaven. And we also know that he was a witness as the sun stood still during that battle. The first time that Joshua is mentioned in Scripture is when Moses appoints Joshua to build an army, to gather some Israelites and to go fight against the attacking men from Amalek. And we're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. I think we're going to talk about that next week. But after leaving Egypt and soon after this first battle, Moses gathered men from each tribe. One man from each tribe was chosen to go and spy out the promised land. And Joshua was chosen from the tribe of Ephraim. And after a fearful report from the other 10 spies, Joshua and Caleb said, "Hey, let's do it. God's on our side." The other 10 had some bad news and distorted some of what they saw, and they gave a fearful presentation. So the Israelites decided not to, and Moses decided not to. And so they walked around the desert for 40 years. Right? Then when God was ready to give the promised land to the people, Joshua was named as Moses' successor. And God gave the people of Israel to Moses to go conquer the promised land. And Joshua led the Israelites across the Jordan and into battle for the promised land. And just like that, if we're careful, we can miss one of the first steps along a spiritual journey of one of God's greatest warriors. Right? Before Joshua was one of the 12 spies, before Joshua was commander of Israel's army, before Joshua was named as the leader of Israel, he was a tent watcher. He was a tent watcher. And if we go back into Exodus, we go back to the middle part of Exodus, we see where Moses is leading the people, right? He's leading them away from Egypt, across the Red Sea. And there's this little passage in Exodus 33. It's really, really awesome. But there's a sentence that appears insignificant if we're not paying attention. And we're going to focus on that today. So I want you to listen carefully as I read from Exodus 33, verse 11. And it reads like this. It says, "The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." That's a pretty awesome verse. And I want you just to think of the first part where we see God talking to Moses as a friend. We see the creator of the universe, right? All creation is waiting to shout and proclaim his glory, and yet he comes down and talks to his creation face to face like a friend. That should be encouraging. And that's good news, and sometimes our minds can just be focused on that, and our hearts can be stirred by that, that we forget that next sentence. Right? It talks about there's this guy who's standing guard at the tent. Right? He's just mentioned, oh, Joshua the son of Nun, he's standing guard at the tent. He's this young man, and he's just watching the tent. But as we look at Joshua's life, we see this is an extremely, extremely important event in the life of Joshua, right? And along Joshua's journey to be a spiritual warrior. Tent watching. Tent watching is where God tests our faithfulness in the small things, right? It's during these times of tent watching that we demonstrate if we're going to be faithful, even in the small things, right? Being faithful in the small things, we demonstrate our relationship with God. We demonstrate a few things, and we're going to look at some of those things this morning. By being faithful in the small things, by watching our tent, the first thing that we demonstrate is our obedience. Right? Sometimes the small tasks are the easiest to put aside. It's easy to think, oh, somebody else can do that. I'm too busy, or that's not that important. That's not worth my time. And if you're willing to put your preferences and your feelings and your priorities above God's commands, even in the small things, you will never be a warrior for Christ. I remember I was at a conference, and there was a gentleman who was speaking. He was speaking actually about evangelism, but he just happened to be the chaplain for a Major League Baseball team. And so he did his conference, he did his speech, and when he was all done, there were some questions. Everybody was leaving, and one guy said, "Man, how do you become a chaplain for Major League Baseball? Like, I would love to be a chaplain." And I still remember that his name was Dr. Orridge. And Dr. Orridge looked at him and he said this, said, "Well, first you need to be obedient in the ministry that God has called you to right now." And he said, "Before he called me to Major League Baseball chaplain, I was an assistant coach for my kids' baseball teams, for my soccer teams, for the kids' volleyball teams." And then he gave some years, like for 18 years, right? "I was a head coach for my kids' teams for 12 years. I spent so many years as a referee and an umpire in these leagues, right? And then I spent 8, 9, 10 years as the head of the Umpire and Referee Association. And all of these times, I was serving as a chaplain to the people that I worked for. I was serving as a chaplain to the families that God had put into my life. So here's what you need to do. You just need to be obedient to the small ministries that God puts before you now." And Joshua was constantly at the tent. He was manning that tent. He was being obedient. God said, "You're going to be a tent watcher." He said, "Okay, God." And he stood at that tent. And every time Moses went inside, there Joshua was. Scripture says this, he would not depart from the tent. He was being obedient to what God called him to do. He was obedient to the ministry, to the task that God had given him, no matter how small it seems. And so many times we pray to God that he would use us for the big things, that you'd use us for the huge things, the things that are going to change the world. God, I want you to use me. And we make all these promises and all these deals with God. If you just knew what was best, God, you would use me. Right? You would let me get the glory. You would use me for these things. And when we look at Scripture, the truth is that God would love to use you for great things. But we haven't been the most obedient at the small things that he's given us. We haven't followed the small tasks that he has given us. In Luke, Jesus says this, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much." And it's during our tent watching that Jesus tests our faithfulness to the little things. And right now, as you look at your life, you can ask him, am I being obedient to the small things? God has given each of us different skills and abilities and life situations, and he places each of us into different communities. Right? And he gives us small things to do where we could have a great impact if we were just obedient to the ministries that he has put in front of us. Right? An author once said this, "Don't expect God to make you a lighthouse somewhere else if you can't be a candle where you are." And as we learn that Joshua was a brilliant military leader and a strong spiritual influencer, but the key to his success was his obedience to God. When God spoke, Joshua listened and obeyed. And as a result of Joshua's obedience, Israel remained faithful to God throughout Joshua's lifetime. Throughout the time that he led Israel, we see that they were obedient and that they followed God. Somehow today in the American church, we've created this false idea that you can be a Christian, that you can follow Christ without being obedient to his commands. Right? You just say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." You don't have to do what it says. You don't have to believe the Bible. You don't have to live in a way that's pleasing to God. You just say that. Nowhere in Scripture is this taught. Zero places in Scripture is this taught. As a matter of fact, Jesus teaches the opposite. Right? When we look at it, you can't divorce this obedience to Jesus from the gospel of Jesus. Jesus says this, "If you love me, you will follow my commands." So you have to look at yourself, even in the small things, and say, what is my response to the gospel? Is it one of obedience, or is it one of disobedience? When I look at my life, am I following his commands, no matter how small they may seem? Am I opening up Scripture and reading it and saying, oh, this is what he tells me to do, and then do it? I remember I had a friend, and he said, being a Christian is easy. All you got to do is read the Bible and do what it says. The people laughing are the ones that have read the Bible, right? It's not as easy as it sounds. But church, where do you need to be obedient in the small things? Where is God whispering into your heart small steps, easy things, things that you think are too small that you need to be obedient? Right? Do you need to be baptized? I can't tell you how many people say, oh, I'm a Christian, I need to get baptized. I've been a Christian for 20 years, I'm thinking about it. Well, the Bible says to do it. So when do we be obedient? Is it joining the church, being a part of a membership, it's being part of a fellowship of a local body of believers who gather and worship God? Not a huge task. It's actually a small task to look at Scripture and say, oh, I want to be a part of this local body of believers. Right? Do you need to share the good news or the gospel with a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor? Right? I know there's so many people I talk to say, oh, God keeps putting on my heart, I need to share Jesus with a family member, a friend. It's like, oh, did you do it? No, I'm not going to do it. He just keeps putting it on my heart. Why not? Right? We need to be obedient in those things that are small. And it's when we're obedient in the small things that we'll most express our faithfulness to God. So the first thing is we need to be, or we demonstrate our obedience. The second thing I want to look at is that when we watch tents, we demonstrate our humility. Right? As I already told you about Jesus, that he was a humble man of God. We know that Joshua had some clout. As I mentioned earlier, when they left Egypt, Moses went to Joshua and said, hey, form an army and fight those people that are attacking us. There was a million Jews that were coming out of Egypt, and Moses went to Joshua and said, you, grab these people and go fight them. Joshua had some clout, right? There was a whole bunch of other people that could have watched that tent. Joshua could have been out maybe with other military leaders and talking to strategy. He could have been in his tent resting. He could have been overseeing some problems. There was a whole bunch of things that he could have been doing besides watching that tent. But God said to watch the tent, and Joshua did it. Joshua would not depart from that tent. He would not depart from Moses. Even when Moses went up to Mount Sinai for 40 days and for 40 nights, we read in Scripture that his brother Aaron and Hur and all the other elders, they went with him to that mountain. And guess what they all did? They left. One person remained and waited for Moses, and it was Joshua. And Joshua waited. He was Moses' assistant. He was to be a tent watcher, and he humbly served in obedience to God. And it's this humility that we don't see in leaders as often as we should. There was a time we got invited to a military change of command, a Marine change of command for a regiment. And so when I say regiment, we're talking 4,800, 5,000 Marines. So a change of command is a pretty big deal. There's a lot of people there, and there's helicopters, and there's the Marine band, and there's all this activity. And Melissa and I, we were going, and we had a friend that was taking over a regiment. And we get to this change of command, tons of people there, tons of people. Parade deck, helicopter landing zone was where you parked, far away. And we're standing there. There's four parking places up front. There's two generals, and there's one for the outgoing commander, and there's one for the incoming commander. And we're standing there, and we see he's got this old blue Chevy truck that he's had for years, and we see the truck coming in the back. And we're like, hey, we're going to go stand by his parking place because we could greet him when he gets out of his car. There's a Lance Corporal up there, a young Marine directing traffic, and he sees that blue car, and he's like, whoosh, like points this guy to the back parking lot. So the guy goes, doesn't say a word, waves at the Marine, hey, have a good day. He goes and parks, like, oh, maybe it's not him, right? He's been in the Marine Corps a long time. He's one step below a general. He knows how these things work. He gets out of his car, just walks right up like nothing happened. Just walks up, and we're looking at him going, hey, sir, all of these people here, all of these events, all of these things are for you. And he's like, yeah, I'm cool. Like, I don't need a parking place. Let somebody else have it. Maybe there's somebody who's elderly. Maybe there's somebody else. I don't need that parking place. And I remember I looked at Melissa, and I said, that humility is what makes that man great. Like, that guy's been in the Marine Corps a long, long, long time. He knew what was going on. But he just showed some humility. He didn't demand what was rightfully his. He could have told that guy, hey, I don't park here. I park up there where the flags are. But no, he just showed some humility, and he walked up, and many people know, well, that he's done there. They know that he is a great leader, and he was humble, and he served. And it's such a small, small thing, but it's a huge illustration of what humility looks like, of what a man who thinks less of himself and more about others. And there's times when I talk to Melissa and we bring up his name a lot. I said, man, I wish I had his humility. I wish I could serve like him. And as I was reading, as I was actually preparing for this, God convicted me and God said, him? I'm the example of humility, right? Even his most righteous acts are horrible. They're dirty rags. I am the ultimate example of humility. And Jesus should be all of our example of humility. Jesus, just as he did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus, this is God, left perfection, left perfect peace, left heaven, and came down to a fallen world. And he was not ashamed to humble himself, to become a part of the creation, and to become a servant, even to death on a cross. And in his humility, he was always obedient to his Father. And this is the example that we are to follow. This is an example that all Christians should follow, that we should put aside our selfishness and we should submit in obedience to God and his word. When we come to Christ as sinners and we see Christ for who he is, and we know who we are, we can only stand before him in humility. Right? Only in humble gratitude can we receive the grace that he offers to each one of us. When we go before God, we have nothing of worth to offer him. And he extends his righteousness to us. It's only by his grace that we can sit at the throne of the Creator and worship him and love him. It's that grace that has forever changed our lives. We will never, ever forget that he has exchanged our worthlessness for his infinite worth. Right? Our sin for his righteousness. And Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and he said this, that he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That is humility, right? That is the standard that we should strive to imitate. We get so caught up in ourselves and we start thinking about what we deserve and what we should have and our position and everything that you owe me. But Christ calls us to follow him in humility. Even in the small things. If you guys remember Truett Cathy, he's the president of Chick-fil-A. Up until the time that he went to be home with the Lord, he was teaching junior high boys. Right here's a man that is the president of a multi-billion dollar company. And he humbled himself every Sunday, and he went and he taught boys the scripture. He taught young men about the scripture. He humbled himself. My question this morning is, where is God asking you to humble yourself? As a demonstration of your faithfulness. As a demonstration of your faithfulness, even in the small things. Is there someone that you need to love on that maybe you don't want to? Right? Is there someone that you need to do something, or you need to do something, you need to serve somebody else? Maybe someone in your mind, you think, they don't deserve it. Well, you don't deserve God's righteousness. What about is something small? Is there somebody you need to just go to and humble yourself and ask for forgiveness? No matter how small the issue is, you just need to set your pride aside and go before them and ask for their forgiveness. It's when we do these things that when we are humble in these small things that we demonstrate our faithfulness to God. And lastly, when we watch tents, we demonstrate our devotion to God. When we are faithful in these small things. Several years ago, I was in Africa and we were training a group of families, right? Missionaries that were going into these hazardous countries, and we were talking about some security and some of the things that they were going into. And there was all these families there, and this is the last training, and guess what you do? You don't do anything but go to classes and pray and read Bibles. That's what you do. The whole family, you don't have work, you don't have kids' sports games, you don't have any of that. It's a very secluded conference, and we're all there, and there was this one family there. And not once had they attended any of the worship services, right? They always had some excuse why it wasn't convenient for them or why they shouldn't be there. Not once did any of them attend any of the Bible studies, any of the fellowship with other believers. It was too inconvenient for them and their kids. Self-admittedly, this means they told the leaders that we don't have time to do the family and individual quiet times. We're too busy. Too busy doing what? Like, that's all you have to do while you're here. But no, we just can't do it. And I remember during one of the classes, the father gave this great speech about his devotion to Jesus. Right? He talked about how he was willing to lay his life down for Christ. And he gave this speech about to live as Christ and to die as gain. And he could think of no greater honor than giving his life for his Savior, and how him and his family were devoted to taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, no matter what the cost. I remember looking at them saying, devoted to taking the gospel no matter what the cost? Like, you're not even devoted to praying. You're not even devoted to sitting in your bed and reading scripture. You're not even devoted to knowing God. And I need you to know that if you're not willing to live for God, if you're not willing to take simple devotional things, if you're not seeking to spend time with God, if he's not your everything, if you are not living for God, I promise you, you will not die for God. That is a false statement that so many times we think, oh, I'll do all of this stuff and I will suffer and I will go to jail and I will get beaten, but I'm not going to read my Bible today. That'll interfere with my TV time. But when we talk about devotion, right, it was less than 3 months later, the family that was going to live in this country was back in the States, out of the ministry. Right? They didn't have a devotion. They didn't have God as their source or their strength. But it's in these small things where we need to demonstrate our devotion. When Paul said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, this does not mean that God will bless a person in whatever they want to do. Right? I prayed and I could do all things through Christ, but I'm still not in the NFL. I'm still praying. Tom Brady's about my age. He's doing okay. But it's not working. Right? And this emphasis and what Paul is talking about doesn't have to do with that. It has to do with being satisfied with God, with being devoted to God, with finding your strength in who God is. And I put it in your notes, if you read with me in this letter to the Philippi church in chapter 4, it says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned that the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul's saying that he could do anything through Christ who strengthens me. God is his everything, and Paul trusts in God, and he's fully devoted to him, and he seeks him, and he feeds on him, and he desires this relationship that as long as he has that, he's good. Right? No matter if he's sleeping in bed or he's sleeping on the ground, no matter if he's starving, no matter if he's eating luxury food and getting his fill, right? Whether he's sitting in the place of honor at the table or he's sitting outside with the slaves, as long as he's in the presence of his Lord, he's fine, right? He's more than fine. He's completely satisfied. He seeks God above all else. And as long as he has God and as long as he's seeking God, he's good and he's satisfied. And he can do anything as long as he has God. And we're reading the Psalms that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our hearts. And this is devotion, is when God is truly the desire of our heart. When he's the one that we seek above all else and above anything else. That is devotion. And Joshua stayed at the tent because of his devotion to God. His love for God's presence, his love for God's glory. Joshua continued to serve as a minister or a servant or an assistant to Moses. And that proved not only his devotion to Moses, but also his devotion to God, since it was God that put him there. It was God that assigned him there. And so how do you? Right? As we look at this journey, we look at this beginning about being faithful in the small things, how is your devotion to God? Right? Is God the desire of your heart? Look at your prayer time. How is your prayer time? Do you seek that prayer time, or do you set a timer and say, oh, finally, 5 minutes is done or 2 minutes is done? What does your prayer time look like? Are you seeking, desiring to spend that time with God? How much time do you spend reading his love letter to you? When you were dating and you were younger, unless you were Melissa, you probably got love letters from your significant other, right? And you probably spent, that's not true, by the way. I sent her all sorts of letters, right? Yep, okay. But you spend hours reading those things. And I remember when we got married and we moved in together, all the stuff I had given her, I think most of it had been thrown away except for the letters I had written or she had kept. And that was something that was important. So God has given us this love letter, and are we devoted? Do we follow it? Do we read it? Do we search out his will for our lives in his love letter to us? Do you find joy in spending time with him? Right? When everything else goes away and life is bad, do you say, oh man, I got to spend time with Jesus right now? Right? Everything else can be put on the back burner. Because I have fellowship with my Savior. See, before Joshua was used by God for great and awesome things, before he was used as to conquer, right? We're not talking one battle, he conquered the entire promised land. He led Israel for years after that, at least 25, maybe 30 years of peace, or they call it rest. Before any of that, Joshua was a tent watcher. Joshua stood at his post. He stood at his ministry position that God gave him. And he watched the tent. Right? He was faithful in the small things. And Joshua serves as an example to believers of how to be obedient and humility and how to be devoted to God and these things. Right? Being faithful in the small things or watching tents are a foundational block for spiritual warriors. We have to do this if we're going to follow God and we're going to be warriors for his kingdom. And so this morning, you got a connection card in your bulletin. We put them in every bulletin, so you don't have an excuse not to fill it out. You can't say there wasn't one in the chair in front of me. And today I want you to think about these things. And I want you to pray about what are some of the things that God is asking you to do. What are some of the small things in your heart that God is whispering for you to do? And I want you to pray about them. But here's the thing. I want to pray with you. Right? I want to grab our leaders and we want to pray with you as a church. And so I'm going to ask you to take those connection cards and go ahead and fill them out. I don't need all that information. Just your name, maybe an email address or some way that we can contact you. And then on the back, what are some ways that we can be praying for you? Maybe it's a decision to get baptized. Maybe it's just the name of somebody you have to go and ask forgiveness for. And we want to pray for you as a church that you could take these steps and you could be faithful to God. Maybe it's to seek him with all your heart. Right? Maybe as you look at your life, you're saying, he's an add-on. He's something that I do if I have time. That's not what he requires. He requires your devotion. And so if we can be praying for you that he would grab your heart and he would twist it, I want you to write that on there. And when the offering plates come around, just drop it in the plate. And I can promise you this, you will be prayed for this week. We will pray for you this week as we go through these cards and we pray for you. But I also want to encourage some of you that are here today. Some of you might be feeling that your place of service is small. And you say, God, I've been watching tents for years. When are you going to use me? I don't feel like I'm making a difference. I don't feel like you're using me for your kingdom. I want to encourage you to remain faithful in the small things. Orson Martin said this. He said, make every occasion a great occasion. For you can never tell when someone may be taking your measure for a larger place. Well, guess what, followers of Christ? I do know who's watching. I do know who's looking at you. I do know who's looking at your measure and for greater things. And I do know who's taking notice of your faithfulness. His name is Jesus. And he knows you and he loves you and he's watching you. And no matter what you're doing right now, he knows your faithfulness. He knows what you're doing. He knows how you are serving. If your heart is burdened, I want to pray for you this week. I want to pray that you would continue to serve faithfully. And if this is you, I want you to share with me how I can be praying for you. I want you to take that connection card out and fill it out. Maybe you've been in a ministry, or maybe you've been witnessing to somebody, an individual. Maybe there's somebody at work or school, and you say, I've been sharing with this person for 30 years, and I don't feel like it's going anything. But you feel like God's called you to do it, and you've been faithful in the small things. I want you to write that down. And I want you to know that we will be praying for you this week. In church, I just want you guys to know, man, I love you guys. And I'm so excited for this journey of Joshua. And as I looked at this scripture, I can't wait to see how he moves. Right? How he makes Calvary Church a training ground for spiritual warriors. For people that just let it all go and say, God, you want us to watch tents? We'll watch tents. Right, God? We want to show you how faithful we are. And I'm so encouraged as I've gotten to know so many of you over the last year. I can't even say a couple years. That'd be a lie. Over the last year, and how dedicated you are, and how much you serve and love God. And I'm starting to see God just do some amazing things to this church, whether it's outreaches to next door, or outreaches to the school, outreaches to the Philippines. We have missionaries in the Philippines that have Bibles because of you guys. Right? We have people that are coming to know Christ because of this little church right here in the middle of West Hills or Canoga Park or LA. And guys, as we seek God and as God takes us, right, and he sees us as tent watchers, we start this journey, get excited for what God is going to do, because it is going to be amazing. But it starts with that first step. It starts with recognizing what those small things are and in being obedient to God to do those things. It starts with seeking God with all your heart, that he's more important than anything he uses you for. He's more important than anything this church does. It is God and God alone that gets our devotion and our praise and our worship. And if that's first in our lives, everything else is going to work out. So if we establish that first step of obedience to watching tents. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you as a